Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. I have 1 Corinthians ready, but I decided last night we're going to do something else this morning. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Father, our whole eternity after we die is dependent on what we're celebrating this weekend. The death by crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. This is the conglomerate of our eternity. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. There are a multitude of doctrines, eschatology, creation, so many other things to know, but this is the heart of our eternity. This is our only message to the world. We're not here to convince them of creation. We're not here to teach, to implant in them morality. It's Christ and crucified and resurrected. Father, I pray that you just guide us over the next few moments together, what you would have us to come up with, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Let's see, all of you, this is going to be a good time to do this morning. No visitors. We don't like visitors. No, just kidding. We love visitors. Yeah, we love visitors. But I want to talk to you to see where we are. And you're going to have to talk with me now. You don't get just to sit here this morning and take notes and fall asleep. You got to interact. Why is the resurrection of Christ important? You can give me some reasons. Give me some reasons. Why is it important? Yes. Okay. Let's see. Part of the gospel? Is that what you're saying? All right. Okay. Yeah. Give me another reason. Yes. Or you just jumped to my last one. Okay. Give me another one. Yes. Okay. Let's see here. That is a specific one. Okay. Resolve the angelic conflict. All right. Going to have to get some passages on that, though. Give me another one.
So that the light of the world would come through His Son, Jesus.
Okay, would that be incarnation or resurrection? Okay. Usually we think of the light with the incarnation, Genesis, John 1. But, it's superfluous. It's Christmas is superfluous without the resurrection. Okay? No hope. Okay.
You must have found a bunch of verses in there.
How about this one? The resurrection of Christ is a demonstration of the sovereignty of God. It's about God. It's about His sovereignty. Only He can raise the dead. Only He can take away that sting of death. I had an email this week, big long email. I started reading. I said, that's not what this is about. But it dealt with, most of us know about the great Houdini. Tony Curtis played it in a movie. No. But he told his wife, I will come back. If it is at all possible, I will be back. Well, after 10 years, she gave up hope and that he was going to come back. And but he's the only one. Now, there have been people resuscitated that went on and died. But he is the only one who has actually been raised from the dead. And I wonder why the world hates him. But I don't wonder. But there was a professor, I don't know if you saw it, this last week, had his students write the name Jesus on a piece of paper, put the paper on the floor, and stomp on it. One student said, no, I'm not. They kicked him out of school. Now, they later rescinded, apologized, and let him come back. But I would have just said, why? What is it about Jesus that you detest here, Professor? And be, you know, I wouldn't have said I'm not going to. Just why? What is it about him that you hate so much? You want us to do that? Just hear what he had to say. Hear how he would verbalize it. But so we're dealing with the faithfulness of God, the sovereignty of God. Now, very close to what a couple of you said, let's see. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians in a moment, but look at Colossians chapter 2. We're talking to people. That's what I'm kind of dealing with, is our testimony to the world. And if we're talking to people, and we're talking about the resurrection. Why the resurrection? Why is it important? By the way, I was so interested this morning in the Dallas Morning News. The front page had, you know, big section, two or three columns, 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches, on First Baptist Church in Dallas and their $130 million renovation. Then you went over into the first section and had a whole page about it. So I'm reading through. People, not once did the preacher or anybody mention Jesus Christ. Not one time. Then there was an ad by the Weirds Company that we read last week about Weirds' obituary, praising Jesus Christ. Whole deal, he has risen. Weirds Furniture. Talked about Jesus Christ. And I just thought, that man and his family did more witnessing of Christ than a $130 million renovation at First Baptist Church downtown Dallas. And we're going to have to decide our battle. Where's the real battle? And what is our battle in our lives? What is our witness of Jesus Christ? And but look at Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 12. Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him, that's you and I, in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of God. It's a demonstration that God is all powerful. We're dealing with a relationship, I don't know what's wrong with my voice, relationship with Jesus Christ and of God the Father. Okay, let's look at another one. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets the pattern for our resurrection. We will have a resurrected body just like his, incorruptible, never subject to death. And one of the verses is 1 John 3:2. No religion in history has a Savior who has risen from the dead, and Christianity is not a religion. But there is no religion. There is no religion in the planet Earth that has a resurrected Savior. Christianity is set apart in that respect. All the founders of religions remain in their grave where they belong. And it's just the uniqueness of Christianity. And I'm going to point this out in the next class, the 10:30 class. People, we're here to witness for Jesus Christ. We are not here in our relationship with the Lord to sponsor the American Constitution, the American Declaration of Independence. We are here to represent Christ. And what you must realize, most people don't want it. But be assured, there are people out there who want to know about Jesus Christ. It may be 1 in 10. It may be 1 in 100. But there are those out there who want to know about Jesus Christ. And that's our place. That's our privilege. That's our responsibility. To proclaim, God has done it. God has found a way to make the righteous out of the unrighteous, the clean out of the unclean, and save mankind. And that's all we're here for. That is what we're here for. To glorify Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to understand that. The world history has changed. The scene has changed as far as world powers. And it's constantly changing. And you and I have to decide, what am I here for? And we are not here for the Constitution or for America. We're here for Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected. In our study in 1 Corinthians, it's different for us because we've experienced the good, the influence of the Bible in American history. But think about Paul. He enters Corinth. There are, what was it, about 8 or 9 temples to God, idolatrous gods. All this stuff going on. He said, I want you to know Christ crucified. That's it. Christ crucified. I'm not here to clean you up more morally. I'm not here to clean you up with all these religions and idolatrous idols. I'm not here to... Christ and Him crucified. And people, that's what we're here for. That's our sole excuse for existing. Is to tell others of Jesus Christ. Because there are some that want to know. Most don't. You probably go out and you witness to 10 people this next week. Probably 9.5 of them. I don't like it to half. But 9 of them are not going to want it. And you're going to become discouraged. Why even do it? They don't want it. They laugh at me. They get mad at me. Da-da-da, da-da-da. But people, that's all that we're here for. To tell others of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. That's it. That's our sole excuse for existing. It's not about of these other things in life. It's about Jesus Christ and this one crucified. Let's see. Resurrection of Jesus Christ, as has been pointed out, is vital to our salvation, and I want to save a passage for that. In fact, let's just go to it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Before we get into this, I got to share with you what my friend John Hintz is doing at Tucson Bible Church today. They are having a Hawaiian sunrise resurrection service. Now, what they mean by that is sunrise according to Hawaiian time. So it's going to be about like 10 o'clock, Tucson time. And all the men are going to be, they wear Hawaiian shirts. The men will do all the cooking. And they'll have their Hawaiian sunrise Easter or Resurrection Sunday service. And they've been doing this for years. And it's pretty good. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Paul lists six disasters that would destroy the Christian faith if the resurrection did not occur. Let's just take a look at them. Six disasters that would destroy the Christian faith if resurrection did not occur. What if he did not rise from the grave? So let's take a look at these in our passage. Now, first of all, proclaiming the gospel would be useless. Useless. Look at verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ has not risen, then we are preaching in vain. Your faith is in vain. So if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, presenting the gospel would be a useless chore. It would serve no purpose whatsoever. So that's the first. Secondly, this is the one that hurts me the most and just zeroes in on the importance of the resurrection. Faith in Jesus Christ would be useless. Faith in Jesus Christ would be useless. Verse 14, same verse we just read. Your faith also is vain. If he didn't rise from the grave, people, it's vanity. So, the first two things that happened that would be disastrous and destroy the whole Christian faith if the resurrection did not occur, one, just proclaiming the gospel would be useless, but even more decisively, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, useless. Useless. Okay, what's the third one? All the witnesses and teachers of the resurrection would be liars. Every time you told somebody Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you'd be lying. Every time I teach it, I'd be lying. Look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So, we're liars. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, we are liars. So, there is so much depending upon the truthfulness of the resurrection. Fourth, no one would be redeemed from their sins. No one would be redeemed from their sins if the resurrection had not occurred. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, note all through here, not been raised, if this had not happened, had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Fifth, all those, and this one's kind of fearful, all those who had believed in Christ have perished. Look at verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. See, we have that hope that the unbeliever doesn't have. We have that confidence, that hope. I know where my mother is. And I know where my mother is because of the resurrection. But if there is no resurrection, she's perished. No hope at all. But you know what? Same thing would happen to me and you if there is no resurrection. Okay, the sixth. These are six disasters that would destroy the Christian faith if the resurrection did not occur. Proclaiming the gospel would be useless, verse 14. Faith in Jesus Christ would be useless, verse 14. All the witnesses and teachers of the resurrection would be liars, verse 15. No one would be redeemed from their sins, verse 17. All those who had believed in Christ have perished, verse 18. And now the sixth one. Those who believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life are to be the most pitied people on earth. Had Jesus Christ not raised from the dead, we're to be pitied. You stupid, foolish, ignorant people. Verse 19. If we have hope in Christ, in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So, these are six things that if the resurrection did not occur, what happens in all of these different circumstances? So, any question about any of them? We're just talking. We're dealing with telling others about the resurrection of Christ. These things are just so easy to see and to grasp and to understand. Now, since Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, this is the assurance of all those who believe. Look at verse 20. This is the assurance of all those who do believe. But now note how Paul has gone through. If he had not risen, if he had not risen, if he had not risen. Verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So, these are some of the damaging things that if the resurrection had not occurred. Okay? Let's look at another one. Jesus Christ is known as the Son of God by His resurrection. He is known as the Son of God, which is very important to us. Because if He's not God, then God needed man to help save us. So, He is known as the Son of God by His resurrection. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 4. Romans 1 4. Who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, people, because of His resurrection from the dead, we know Him as the Son of God. Think about this. If He's still in a grave, He's not God. I mean, the least we say about God is that He exists forever. And if Jesus Christ is in a grave, He's not the Son of God. Okay, let's note another one. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial to the ascension and session of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend time this morning looking at the importance of the ascension and session. But people, Christ talked about that, Old Testament, and even in his trials. His ascension and session to the right hand of the Father is dependent upon the resurrection. It's dependent upon that. We believe that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, died spiritually on the cross, during the judgment of the sins of the world, buried 3 days, 3 nights later, was resurrected. It was very interesting the other night on the Hal Lindsey Report. He kind of does it every year. I think it's the same program, but he said, now, I don't want to hurt a lot of people, but your Good Friday is not Good Friday. It's probably Good Thursday. And they went through and kind of worked it out. I still have no problem with Thursday, But I think it was Wednesday, because that's the full 3 days, three nights, and that's what the Bible says. But be that as it may, dealing with the ascension and session of Jesus Christ is that he had to rise from the grave in order to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. This is the victory in the invisible warfare that was mentioned. This is the victory. The victory hasn't been finalized with the crucifixion. It isn't finalized with the burial. It isn't finalized with the resurrection. He goes up and takes his seat. Psalm 110, at the right hand of God, Psalm 2, at the right hand of God the Father. There lies the victory. Therein is the victory. Now, you should still be open to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just read 1 through 4. Powerful passage in the Bible. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. Here it is. Which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand. So I preached it to you, you received it by faith, and you stand there, by which you all also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver unto you as of the first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, in our study in the Gospel of John 16 and 17, what did he talk about? I go to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm leaving you and I'm going to him. I'm going back to him. Where are you going? I'm going to the Father. He has to be alive to do that. He cannot do that as dead, so he had to rise from the grave in order to do that. Now, continuing on the same thing, look at verse 20 through 25 of 1 Corinthians 15. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Okay, let's note a few things. First of all, let's talk about asleep. Now, James and I were talking about this the other day. Whenever you have sleeping referred to believers, this is our bodies. The soul doesn't sleep. When you and I die, we go to face to face with Jesus Christ. But our bodies remain here in that, what we call that sleep position. And they point out even now that when you and I are asleep, our brain's not asleep. Boy, they got wires in there and it's just boom, 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 man, it's a working and it's a working. I think my brain works more when I'm asleep than it does when I'm awake. But it doesn't sleep. So there is no sleeping in that sense. Now, verse 21, for since by a man came death. Who's that? Adam. Okay. And by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Who's that? Jesus Christ. For as in Adam, all die. So, people, if you knock out the first three chapters of the Bible, you're in a world of trouble. You don't have an understanding of so much going on in the Bible, and multitude of people knock it out. Just too much for them to handle. All right, verse 22. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, resurrection, after those who are in Christ at his coming, church age. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. Where are we seeing that? Now studying Daniel right now. That rock of hope, boom, that will knock that statue completely down, knocking down all these powers. Verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Okay, let's go to another one. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is the assurance of his return. Is the assurance of his return. at the end of the last 7 years of the age of Israel, what we call the tribulation. If no resurrection, no return. It's that simple. Another one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of our justification. This is an important one. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of our justification. Look at Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Okay. We dealt with this heavily on Wednesday night, and I'm going to keep on pressing it. Two things happen and must happen for us to be saved. One is a negative, the other is a positive. Most people emphasize the negative as far as salvation is concerned. Now, who can tell me what the negative side of salvation is? Okay, but as far as we're concerned, huh? Well, got condemnation, so that's where you start. So what has to happen about that condemnation? We're under condemnation, so what has to happen that causes us to be condemned? People, our sins have to be taken care of. The basis of the condemnation. So He took away our sins. Now, if sins are taken away at the cross, even of unbelievers, does that mean you're saved? What needs to happen on the positive side to be saved? Okay, but what, from God's perspective? Imputation of righteousness. Two things have to happen for us to be saved, people. And one is the forgiveness of sins. But that's of everybody. That's the grace of Christ on the cross. All sins are forgiven on the cross. Not all are saved. Now what has to happen is God has to see that righteousness. That's the great issue. That's what Romans 5 was all about. Yes? Do what? Huh? The question? All right. What? Two things happened for our salvation. One is negative. One is positive. What is the negative thing that has to happen for our salvation? And the negative is sin's taken care of. The abolition of sin. And that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He did that on the cross. But just because sins are forgiven doesn't mean you're saved. Sins of everyone are forgiven. What has to happen for there to be salvation? There has to be the imputation of perfect righteousness. God sees the perfect righteousness, says justified. And that's why verse 25 is so important in Romans 4. He who delivered up because of our transgressions, that's taking care of the sins on the cross. But that's not all there is. Raised because of our justification. The imputation of righteousness at the point of faith in Christ. Therefore, now you are considered righteous before God and justified before God. Now you're saved. So just being forgiven of sin doesn't end the problem. That's not all there is to it. You have to have His righteousness. That's why if we get people to not sin, big deal. Let's just say, babbling like a fool, that we could get people to stop sinning. They're not going to be saved. They're no closer to being saved. You've got to have His righteousness. We saw this Wednesday night in where a Pilate came out and asked the Jews, "What is your accusation against this man? What's your accusation And we spend some time studying how, in most cases, we think of morality. We are accused, we make our accusation of moral issues, murder, crime, rape, stealing, whatever. But what God is going to look for in our accusation, what is your state of righteousness? What is your condition of existence? Do you exist as righteous or unrighteous? If you exist as unrighteous, you're not fit for salvation. You're not fit to be have eternity with Him. So the accusation is very important to God. What is the accusation? What is the accusation against us? And what we pointed out was, it's not going to be a moral issue. God is going to give no moral accusation for those that are saved or for those that are condemned to a lake of fire. It has nothing to do with a moral accusation. It has to do with one's state of existence. It's like most trials deal with moral accusation. But there are trials, there are cases. Is this your son or daughter? Is this couple legitimately married? Is she legitimately married? So it has nothing to do with, let's say we're talking about if this child, whatever age, is really the son of some multi-billionaire. Okay? It's not a moral issue. We don't care a thing about his moral life. What we want to know is he legitimately related to the billionaire? That's the only issue before it. Same thing before God. Has nothing to do with a moral accusation. It has to do with your status quo, your legitimate stat before God. Or do you possess the righteousness of God? Are you a child of God by faith in Christ? Moral accusation has no ground. Now, for our Christian life, whole other discussion. But as far as salvation is concerned, moral accusation is of no issue. The only issue is, are you in Christ? So, there are two sides to salvation. One is the negative. Our sins, taken care of by His crucifixion. The other is a positive, the imputation of perfect righteousness, and that comes by the resurrection. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So, any question on that momentum? Okay? Next, resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the faithfulness of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the faithfulness of God. Isaiah 53:10, He will crush Jesus' death, but will also prolong his days. That's resurrection. It's the faithfulness of God. And people, here's the deal. If he did not raise Jesus Christ from the dead, do we have any guarantee he'll raise us from the dead? No. He wasn't faithful to Christ. Why should he be faithful to me? That's how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. If he was not faithful to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ trusted him as far as the resurrection is concerned, and if God the Father didn't do it, if God the Father was not faithful, he's not going to be faithful to me. There goes my hope of resurrection. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is directly related to the faithfulness of God in dealing with Jesus Christ, in dealing with us. Next, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the confidence of every believer in the future. Therefore, in living each day with no fear of death or after death. We have no fear of death. And I'm talking about from a teenager all the way through life. We should have no fear of death. We're going to be home with the Lord. It's that simple. And we've got to really believe that and live that in our lives. And there are a lot of Christians who are really afraid to die. And as they get closer to it, they become very controlled by fear. People have no right to fear. If we truly believe the resurrection of Christ. So the resurrection of Christ is the confidence that we have in living each day with no fear of death whatsoever. Because he has been risen. Therefore, since he is risen, I am in him. I know that I will be risen, raised from the dead. So therefore, no fear of death at all. Now, when you take care of no fear of death, when you have no fear of death, what can you do then? You can enjoy life. You're not holding on to anything. A lot of people live, just hold on to life so dearly, and they miss it. You just enjoy life. If I die today, I die today. And if I don't die today, I got to pay my bills. It's that type of deal. I just got to keep on living each day. But no fear of death. And therefore, if it comes down to this kind of measure, no fear of witnessing for Christ. And we're going to be studying, I'm very serious about where we are in American history and where the Christians are. We're not here about America, people. We're here about Christ. That's what we're here for. And it's going to come down to being that simple. And if it comes down to where witnessing for Christ or die, I'm with Peter. Okay, kill me. Kill me, go ahead. Because that's all I'm going to talk about. Now, am I going to die to promote anti-homosexuality? Nope, not worth it. Not worth it. It's in the Bible, but it's not worth it. Am I going to die to promote creation versus evolution? Nope, it's not the issue. Not the issue. But when they say you can't give the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give it. It's that simple. I will give it. So we have to decide our battles now. We're no longer living luxury in America as Christians. We have to pick our battles. And our battle is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the confidence that we have to live each day as unto the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 6. We're getting ready to get back to Romans after we finish Daniel. But let's look at, don't ask me when that'll be. It'll be soon enough. James and I are going to get Daniel 3 in one shot. Come and see if it can be done. All right. Romans chapter, we're laughing. We're going to do it. Romans chapter, even he's laughing back there. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. But we just live our life as under the Lord. Death is just going from one room to another, as it were. It's that simple for the Christian believer in Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's read verse 14 together. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. People, you don't get a verse better than that. You don't get a verse better than that. There's your confidence. There's your hope. There's your peace. Do you believe God or not? This is just one of the most powerful verses. God has not only raised the Lord, which he has done, but will also raise us up through his power. So, if we die before the rapture, okay. Now, if we don't die, then, but let's say if we die, we're going to be raised up with him. It's all worked out beautifully. Do you believe Christ is coming again? Do you believe Christ is going to wipe out all the Gentile nations, the Battle of Armageddon? Then more reality to you is your own resurrection. It's going to raise me up. We're going to have a body just like his. What's that body going to be like? It's going to be unbelievable. It can go through material and all this type of thing. Yesterday, I was talking with some people about this, and I thought, my only question about the resurrection is this. This is my only question about my resurrection. Am I going to be 5 feet 5, or can I be 5'8"? That's my only concern about the resurrection. And as you can see, that's nothing. So I have no concern at all. No concern at all. But what I want you to understand is, and what I like about when we can talk that way, it's not much of a reality to us. It's that much. What am I going to look like? I believe it's going to happen. Now, having set that aside, what am I going to look like? See? What's this going to be like? How tall am I going to be? How this? How that? Doesn't matter. But it's those things that you talk about when something is so real. It's so real that these things just become part of who and what I am. Look at Colossians chapter 3 again. I love Colossians chapter, the book of Colossians. It's just a powerful, powerful book. We studied it a lot in our study of stress, anxiety, depression. Colossians chapter 3. And let's just read the first four verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, and you have if you believe in Him, keep seeking the things above. And I just cannot make that any clearer. And this is talking about our daily life, not the things here on earth. We vote with our money. You're voting with your money. You spend $100 to some organization that's going to fight for the Constitution, going to fight for gun rights, going to fight for this, or you spend $100 for teaching young people associated with this church in the Wise's home, the Daig's home, and in our camp and all, to give them the gospel and teach them about Jesus Christ and eternity. You get to decide which is more important to you, America or our young people in Christ. And it's come down to those kind of decisions, people. We've got to start making up our mind what really is important in life. How do I vote with my money? Oh, I'm for the Constitution and I'm for the young people. No, which one is going to get your vote? Not which one's going to get your accolades, which one's going to get your vote? Which one's going to get your support? These are the decisions that we're battling now. And for more and more and more, the gospel, the Bible, is taken away from our young people. And I'm talking about even in churches. We've got to make up our mind. No, I want to do what I can to get the Bible to those young people who do want to know it. And we have an opportunity in this very church. That's amazing. That is amazing that 25 or 30 kids come over to two different homes related to this church to hear the Bible taught. That ought to just thrill you. These are the future. These are where we're going to have to make up our decisions. So Christians are laughed at as if there is no resurrection, for it is the assurance of the resurrection that Christians suffer for Christ's sake, people. This is why we suffer for Christ and for His sake. Let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is crucial in dealing with the gospel, resurrection, Christian life. 1 Corinthians 15. And this time let's read, when we get there, let's read verses 29 to 31. We haven't read those. 1 Corinthians 15, 29 to 31. 29. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. So, I die daily. So, people, what we're dealing with is how we live is based on the resurrection of Christ and our future resurrection. If there is no resurrection of Christ and there is no our resurrection, then we're just to be pitied for suffering for Christ. Why suffer for Christ? Now, Americans, we haven't suffered for Christ that much yet. I personally believe the time is coming. So it's not about America anymore. It's about the body of Christ. And I believe that we will and especially if you carry your Bible or witness to Christ. But just remember, there are those who want to know about Jesus Christ. No, the majority do not. As I said, you witness to 100 people, 98 may not. But there are people in the world, who want to know about Jesus Christ. There are not a whole lot of them, not anymore, but they're out there. And that's our job, to tell them about Christ and Him crucified. We suffer, even die, if necessary, for Christ. Why? Because of the hope and the assurance of the resurrection. And then, the resurrection is the guarantee of ultimate sanctification. The resurrection. People doubt your eternal life. Although you can lose your salvation. People, the resurrection guarantees ultimate sanctification. Look at 1 Corinthians 20, right where we are. And let's read 1 Corinthians 15. And let's read 20 through 23. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead. First fruits from those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are in Christ at his coming. People, because of the resurrection, you have the guarantee of your own resurrection. And one more passage on the relating sanctification. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3:21. Let's begin reading in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Whose citizenship? Anyone who has believed in Christ. You know, I just am amazed at those who want to take away people's salvation. Well, you're a citizen of heaven. Oh, you just lost it. You're no longer a citizen. Oh, well, you gained it back. What kind of God do you have here? What kind of God is that? Good grief. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state, that's this human body we're in now, into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. People were with Him forever and ever because of the resurrection. It is not a matter you're going to lose the hope of the resurrection. And then finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a pattern of our spiritual recovery. Every time we sin, we're dead. Every time we mental attitude sin, sin of the tongue, overt sin, we're dead. Temporally dead. We are raised to new life right now on earth in this body by faith in the Holy Spirit. Our resurrection in Christ is a pattern of our resurrection in daily life. What's the guarantee that we're filled with the Holy Spirit? What's the guarantee that we're raised up out of sin back into the power of the Spirit? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a pattern for our resurrection every time, and it's a form of resurrection. This is what changed my whole life when I read where Lewis Berry Chafer pointed out. We have to understand being restored from sin is a form of salvation. It's a form of salvation. Just as our eternal life salvation, so our temporal salvation. It has to be of God. It has to be by grace. It can only be through faith, not by any works or confession or anything else. Simply faith. Simple faith. And we're resurrected every day, all day. Sometimes you might be resurrected several times in a day, several times in an hour. It's a form of resurrection. And it's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, these are just some thoughts going over Resurrection Sunday morning as to our importance of witnessing to others of the resurrection of Christ. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, and we thank you that we have this assurance. The assurance that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The proof, Heavenly Father, is in our faith. The proof, Heavenly Father, is in your word. The proof is in your essence. We praise you, Father, and we thank you. The world may laugh at us, but when they die, they'll laugh no more. This is reality. The resurrection of Christ is a reality of our daily lives. How we deal with our husbands, how we deal with our wives, how we deal with our family, our finance, our social life, every part of our being is related to the resurrection of Christ. And Father, we just praise you for your marvelous plan in your Son's precious name. Amen.